Welcome to Creative Control Hotline, the cozy little advice desk for creative people trying to make things in this crazy world without handing the whole project over to the machine. I'm your host, Samantha, and today's episode is called Humanity in the Age of AI. We're talking about a question that keeps showing up in classrooms, studios, group chats, portfolio projects, and probably several browser tabs we all meant to close days ago. How do we keep the humanity and originality in creative work when AI can generate ideas, drafts, images, and code in seconds? Because like it or not, generative AI is already here and people are already using it. It's helping you brainstorm, write, code, design, revise, and get unstuck, which, of course, can be useful. It sometimes feels like having a very fast assistant who never needs to eat or sleep and somehow knows 12 ways to describe the thing you've had at the tip of your tongue within seconds. But creative work is not just output. It is judgment. It is taste. It is lived experience. It is revision. It is deciding what belongs and what does not. It is knowing when something is technically fine, but still not quite you. So today's argument is simple. Generative AI can be a useful creative assistant, but it should not become the author, artist, designer, or decision maker. Our big rule for today, use the tool, keep the human. Let's take our first call. Creative Control Hotline, what are we making today?
Hi, okay, so I'm a creative writing student, and I feel like I'm doing something wrong. But I can't tell what the wrong part is. I've been using AI when I get stuck on scenes or character ideas, and at first it felt amazing because it gave me options right away. But now I keep noticing that while everything is like technically good, it all feels kind of empty. The characters all have the same emotional arc. The dialogue sounds like everyone in the scene went to therapy or took a communication class, and none of it really sounds like me. So I guess my question is, how do I use AI without letting it turn my writing into perfectly formatted beige soup?
First of all, perfectly formatted beige soup is going on the office wall. Second, no, it is not just you. This is one of the biggest concerns with generative AI and creative work. AI can produce something that looks smooth and complete, but smooth is not the same as good or original. Sometimes the work feels finished, but it doesn't have any life. Researchers Anil Doshi and Oliver Hauser studied generative AI and creative writing. They found that AI assistants could help individual writers produce work that was rated as more creative, better written, and more enjoyable, which at first might sound like a total win. But their study also found that AI-assisted stories became more similar to each other overall. That is the paradox at the center of creative AI. AI might help one person make something stronger, but if everyone is pulling from the same kinds of suggestions, the larger creative landscape can start to flatten. Everything gets smoother, but less distinct. More polished, but less personal. For writers, designers, developers, and artists, originality is not just decoration. It is the fingerprint. It is the part of the work that says, a person made this choice. So if AI gives you a decent idea, don't stop there. Question it, twist it, add your references, add your lived experience, add the strange detail only you would think of. If the first answer feels too easy, keep digging. Use the tool, keep the voice. What a great question. And it brings us to our first creative control checkpoint. If you let AI draft the doorway, make sure you build the room. If you want originality, it has to come from you. Our next caller is wondering when AI is helpful and when it starts doing too much. Creative Control Hotline, what are we making today?
Hello, I am in a web design class and I've been using AI mostly when I'm stuck at the beginning of a project, like if I need layout ideas or color palette suggestions or even just help naming sections of a site. It helps me get moving. but then I start feeling guilty, like maybe I didn't really come up with the idea myself. I don't want to be lazy, and I definitely don't want my portfolio to secretly be half robot. So where is the line between I used a tool and I let the tool do my project?
That is a very real question, and it lives right in the foggy center of this whole issue. Using AI when you are stuck is not automatically the problem. People have always used tools to think, sketch, draft, revise, and experiment. A sketchbook is a tool. A search engine is a tool. A mood board is a tool. The problem starts when the tool moves from helping you think to thinking for you. A study by Sabrina Habib, Thomas Vogel, Zhao Enli, and Evelyn Thorne looked at students using ChatGPT-3 for a creativity task. The students generated more ideas, more varied ideas, and more detailed responses with AI. That matters because getting past the blank page is not always easy. Sometimes AI can help a person start moving, but the same study also included student reflections, and those reflections made the results more complicated. Some students felt that AI made the task too easy or made it harder to think beyond what AI had already suggested. That is the part creative people need to notice. AI can open a door, but you still have to decide whether the room is worth entering. If it gives you 10 possible directions, your job is not to treat those directions like commandments. Your job is to ask, which of these actually fits my purpose? Which one feels too generic? Which one would I never have chosen? Which one can I reshape into something better? In design, writing, coding, or art, creative control is not only about having the idea first. It is about what you do with the idea. It is about what you reject, what you revise, what you combine, and what you decide to stand behind. Use the tool, keep the judgment. Another perfect question for our segment. And this brings me to our second creative control checkpoint. Let AI give you sparks, but do not hand it the matchbook. If the project is going to represent you, then your judgment has to guide what stays, what changes, and what gets tossed back into the idea drawer. Now we're going to take a call from someone on the teaching side. Creative Control Hotline, what are we making today?
Hi. I teach first-year college students, and I'm trying very hard not to become the back-in-my-day-we-used-our-brains person. I know AI is part of the world they're entering, and honestly, some of them are using it in thoughtful ways, but I also see work come in that feels like the student barely touched it. It has that smooth AI voice where everything is correct-ish, but heartless. I don't want to ban it completely, but I also don't want to reward students for skipping the actual learning. How do I talk about responsible AI use without turning every assignment into detective work?
This is such a good teacher question because banning AI entirely may not match the world students are entering, but pretending AI has no risks is also not realistic. One useful approach is to teach AI as part of the process, not as a shortcut around the process. That means students should be able to explain how they used AI, what they changed, what they rejected, and where their own judgment shaped the final work. Instead of only asking, "Did you use AI?" teachers might ask, "What did AI help you generate? What did you keep? What did you throw out? How did your own choices change the result? Where is your voice visible in the final version?" That shifts the conversation away from catching people into building creative judgment. It also helps students understand authorship as something active. Authorship is not just having your name on the top of the page. It is being responsible for the decisions in the work. This connects to research by Lynn Key and colleagues, who interviewed creative professionals about generative AI. Their work focuses on concerns around consent, credit, and compensation. In other words, whose work trained the tool, who gets recognized, and who benefits? Those questions matter in classrooms too. If students are learning to use AI, they should also be learning to talk honestly about how it shaped their work. Disclosure should not be treated only as punishment. It can also be a practice of creative integrity. So a classroom AI policy does not have to be only yes AI or no AI. It can ask students to show the process. A student might say, I used AI to generate 5 possible layouts, rejected 3, combined 2, and redesigned the final version based on my own project goals. That tells us much more than a simple yes or no. So use the tool, keep the credit. Thank you for your question. And it brings us to our third creative control checkpoint. If AI helped, say how. If you made the choice, show where. Creative credit is not just about naming the final author. It is about being honest about the path the work took to get there. Our last caller is thinking about the bigger picture. Creative Control Hotline, what are we making today?
Hey there, I'm a freelance artist and illustrator, and I'll be honest, this whole AI thing makes my stomach a little bit nervous. I'm not against using tools, honestly. I use digital brushes, references, tutorials, all those kind of things, especially on my iPad. We would all be lost without that. But I've had a lot of clients ask me, just use AI, make something faster, cheaper, blah, 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 blah. But that feels like it's disrespecting the years of practice behind the work. I'm also worried that artists are just being used to train the AI systems and to replace us, where AI just completely wipes us out. What are we supposed to do? Just smile politely and let the robot gain all the freaking money?
First, while the robot gains all the profit is painfully accurate. And I think what you're naming is bigger than a fear of a new tool. It's the fear that the work of human artists is being treated like free fuel for systems that may turn around and compete with them. That is a very different problem than one person using AI to brainstorm a color palette or get unstuck on a rough draft. Your question is about power. Who gets paid? Who gets credited? Who gets replaced? And who gets to decide what creative work is worth? Giulia Calpacchini writes about AI and the creative industries. And one of the important points is that AI may not affect every creator equally. Famous or established creators may have more protection because their names already carry value. But newer creators, freelancers like yourself, and lower paid creative workers may be more vulnerable to being pushed aside by cheaper AI generated content. So no, the answer cannot just be use AI responsibly. And then leave individual artists to fend for themselves. Responsible use matters, but creative fields also need clearer standards around consent, credit, compensation, and transparency. Creators should not be the last people invited into the conversation about creative tools. They should be part of deciding the rules. So come on, guys, use the tool, keep the creator. That question was a heavy hitter, and it brings us to our fourth and final creative control checkpoint. Creative workers should be part of deciding the rules, not just reacting after companies make them. If human creativity is feeding the system, human creators deserve a seat at the table. So let's bring it home. AI can help creative people brainstorm, draft, revise, code, and experiment. That's not nothing. Used carefully, it can make the early stages of a project less intimidating. It can help someone get unstuck. It can give a student a starting point. It can help a developer test an idea or a writer find a new angle. But originality does not come from the tool alone. The creator decides what matters, checks for sameness, gives credit, asks where the material came from, and protects the human voice in the final work. So here is our creative control checklist for humanity in the age of AI. Number one, build the room yourself. AI can draft the doorway, but originality comes from what you create behind that first opening. Do not stop at the easiest answer. Make the work yours. Number two, hold the matchbook. Let AI offer sparks, but keep your judgment in charge. You decide what stays, what changes, and what gets tossed back into the idea drawer. Number three, show your path. If AI helped, say how. If you made the choice, show where. Creative credit is not only about the final name on the work, but the honest story of how it got there. And number four, save creators a seat. Creative workers should help determine the rules for creative technology. If human creativity feeds the system, human creators deserve a seat at the table. Use the tool, keep the voice, the judgment, the credit, and the creator. Use the robot, keep the human. This has been Creative Control Hotline. Thanks for calling, and remember, creative tools can support the process, but creative responsibility stays with us.